Good morning, church. Welcome this morning. It is so wonderful to see you all here. We are so excited. It's just going to be such a wonderful service. My favorite Pastor D is preaching this morning. You are in for such a treat. We are singing new songs. So I'd like to invite you to please stand and join us. Welcome to our online guests. Wonderful to have you in the house this morning. One of the new songs that we are going to be singing is called More Than Able, and it's from the new CD. Go and listen to the CD. That is Can You Imagine, New Elevation CD. And you're going to see the lyrics that we sing when we get there. It goes, can you imagine with all of the faith in the room what God can do? So look to your left and look to your right and look in front of you and look behind you. Look at all the faith that you are surrounded with this morning. You are in for a treat. Every mountain that needs to be moved, God is going to move it. We just believe that. Let's pray. Father God, there is joy in your presence. We worship you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you, Father, that you are more than able, that you go before us, that you are behind us, that you are within us, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you move the mountains. Our eyes are on you, Jesus. We worship and adore you. Amen. Are you ready to rattle, church?
Saturday was silent, surely it was through. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment, Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. Pentecostal fire, stirring something new. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon. Resurrection power runs in my veins too. I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling.
Rattle. My God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore.
This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling.
This is what he said.
Song this morning. It's an Afrikaans song called God van Wonders.
Vrees, skuld, weg in een oomlik elke berg, bult, jy bly teenwoordig, God van Wonders, vrees. Bloed, kruis, bring my die lewe soos die grond. Duis, vryheid vir ewig, God van wonders, heilig is die naam. Elke knie sal buig.
Reen genade.
genade is die bron van vrede in my wêreld skyn die helder, is die lig wat my die pad wys oor my
Vader, God van wonders, ons verheerlik die grote naam, Here. Naam bo elke naam, elke knie sal buig en elke tong sal bely dat U God is, Here.
To forget all of the great things you did, when did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe that you weren't sufficient for? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? You are more than able. You are more than
in the one who still does miracles. You do miracles. You are more than able. You are more than able.
You are
you are more than able.
Just let the way make it through. He's gonna move. Yeah, he's gonna move.
Can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do?
He's moving now.
What the Lord can do. It's gonna happen. Just let the way make it through. He's gonna move. Yeah, he's gonna move. All of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do, what the Lord can do. It's gonna happen, just let the way make it through. He's gonna move, yeah, he's gonna move. Anything is possible.
And let's just exalt our King. Lord, we just exalt you, our precious, precious King. Let's exalt our King.
We
Yes, Lord, we exalt you this morning, Lord. We lift your name on high. We honor you, Lord, and we worship you. We choose to look to you. We exalt your name. Thank you for who you are, Lord. And thank you for making us overcomers, Lord, through you and through you loving us. Thank you for reminding us this morning that we can overcome because you already overcame, Lord. Lord, help us this morning not to look to ourselves, but to look to you, to focus on you, to keep our eyes on you. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you this morning for your grace, your mercy, your love, everything you do, everything you are, Lord. You are an awesome God. And I thank you for speaking to each one of us this morning. Lord, thank you that we get to experience and encounter you this morning and also hear from you, Lord. Thank you for revelation from heaven. Thank you for your word and the freedom and the encouragement that it always brings. We thank you for that, Lord. And we come expectant this morning to receive and experience everything that you have for us. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. You may be seated. Thank you so much to the worship team. Thank you to the media team as well. Thank you for the spirit of excellence that you carry. Isn't it wonderful to worship God together as believers? Hey, praise God. Well, my name is Janu, for those of you who don't know me. And I also want to welcome everyone watching online. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We love having an online family. And thank you for joining us this morning. And then this morning, we would like to give you an opportunity to give. And before I read some scriptures, I want to say, I think when it comes to money, it's so important to have a right view, to have a healthy view when it comes to money. And I think a very unhealthy view is when we get very obsessed with money and when we start loving money, and the Bible warns us against that. But I think another unhealthy view is where we become indifferent to money and almost reckless. And I think a healthy view is to view it as a tool and something that we can use to do good things with. But I think it's so important to have a right view. And I think one of the lies we sometimes believe about money is that it will make us secure. And we find our trust in money. And I think that's one of the reasons why we sometimes, you know, become afraid to sow a seed or to do what God tells us to do with it, because we find our trust in money. And it's so important to know that that is a lie, and we must always find our trust in God. Whether we have a lot of money or a little, we need to view God as our source. But just some scriptures that will confirm that. Hebrews 13, verse 5 to 6 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?'" And Proverbs 11:28 says, "Trust in your money and down you go." How many of you want to go down? I want to go up. And I'm sure you want to go up as well. But it's saying if you're going to trust in money, if you're going to find your security in money, you will go down. But it goes on to say, but the godly, just describing the righteous there, it says they will flourish like leaves in spring. And we all want to flourish like leaves in spring. Amen? So let's make sure we trust in God, we see Him as our source, and we don't find our security in money. Mama D, also known as Pastor D, will share a great word with you. I can guarantee you it's going to bless and encourage you. So get ready for a great word and enjoy the rest of the service.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't that an exciting bumper to come up into? Hey, so exciting to be here. I'm Dee. For those of you that don't know me, Steve sends greetings. He's in a conference in Joburg at the moment. He's flying home this afternoon. So he sends all his love. But what a joy to be involved in this church. I know he got emotional about the South Sudanese pastors last week, but when I see our youth doing what they're doing, I have to control myself because I'm not going to cry the second service. But Steve always says, we're one generation from closing our doors. One generation from the church closing its doors. And do you know that on a Friday night, we have between 100 and 150 youth here celebrating Jesus, touching their communities, hanging out together, and it brings so much joy. So next week, it is so exciting. They're practicing, they're ready, they're serving. I know Steve will be preaching, but it is here that we get to see our youth serve us on a Sunday, and it is going to be such a special day. So if you have any youth that are hiding at home or in your family that maybe think there's no young people in our church, I want to tell you our youth are hip and happening. That's how we used to speak in the old days. All right, that's just our lingo. I've just got to speak like they know. Hip and happening, all right? It really is going to be such a special time, and to see our youth being the salt and the light in this very dark society at the moment. So please pray for them, keep them in your prayers, encourage them. It takes a lot of guts to stand on these stages. And so for them to be serving the way they do, it really is such a blessing to us. And we want to thank every young person here that gives up their Friday, gives up their Sundays. I know they should be studying for exams, but they are serving at the iDesk and at the iCafe and doing cameras. So I know it's a big sacrifice for them. Can we just give our young people a big hand? We love them. We love them. So I'm going to be doing part two of our series, Overcomers. And I know Steve did a great job last week. Wasn't it so powerful to just be reminded of the names that we have in Him that we can stand on and that we can declare over our circumstances and our situations? We forget we've got these names that are so powerful. And I know I was so blessed to hear those names again and just be reminded that we overcome with His name, the name above every name. And so I'm going to be continuing the series, and let's just remind ourselves of our scripture. It's 1 John 4, verse 4. This is a scripture you should know off by heart. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them because, say, greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. What a declaration. Greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. We need to hold on to this promise. And so often I am in counseling with people, and I even had a lady 2 weeks ago. She said to me, Dee, I look at the church she was going to, I look at my family, I look at the problems in the world, and every morning I wake up and I say to myself, what else must I do? What am I doing that's wrong? What am I doing that's right? Why isn't it working? And we all have those moments when we say to ourselves, what else must I do? I'm trying everything, but I don't feel like an overcomer. Has anyone ever asked that question? Okay, look at the person next to you and say, I know you've asked it. I may not have, but I know you have. We ask these questions, what else must I do? And just to put you at peace, they asked Jesus the same question. And we read it in John chapter 6, verse 28, where he says, they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? What must we do to be an overcomer? And Jesus in his grace and his mercy and has the answer, and he still is the answer. And I'm going to share it with you now. It comes in verse 29 when Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. We need to let go of this, I need to do my to-do list, that I can bargain with God to say, I've done everything I've done. When are you going to do what you've done? Because we use it like a chessboard. Some days we're just going straight. Other days we're like that crazy horse that does. We have to let go of this what must I do mentality and understand it's all about what we are believing. And when our believing changes, our doing changes. It doesn't mean we give up and don't do anything, but our believing affects how we do things. And so there is three keys to overcoming that are related to what you believe. And I'm going to share those three keys with you this morning. And it's found in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. John says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ has come. When had it come? Now, which means 2,000 years ago. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night, and they overcame him. Because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. Here are three keys to understanding you are an overcomer. The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and that you do not love your life even when faced with death. When we understand how these three keys come in and change our belief systems, you will function as an overcomer. Because the enemy wants to destroy your self-worth, your confidence in who he is, so that you don't feel like an overcomer. And so today I'm going to start with the blood of the Lamb. In Leviticus 1 verse 4 it says, he shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, there were so many different offerings. One of them was this burnt offering. And I'm just going to read here. It says, the burnt offering was the most important sacrifice at most Israelite festivals and was offered once every morning and once every evening. Bringing the burnt offering was a very personal experience, intended most certainly to make an impression on the Israelite offerer in his sacrifice, to make atonement for his sin and to gain God's acceptance. The offerer identified himself with the animal by laying his hand on the animal's head. When the animal died, it died for the offerer's sins. Neither the offerer nor the priest ate of any of the meat. It was all burnt in its fire. This was the sacrifice in its purest form, a valuable animal given up wholly to God. Then we see there's also a guilt offering. Now, a guilt offering also involved all of these involved animals, whether it be a lamb, whether it be a goat or bull, or even doves and birds. Why? All of these offerings, even the guilt offering required that the person would confess their sins to the priest. They would lay their hands on the animal, and then whatever they had stolen or cheated, they had to repay 20% to the person. But the whole time, every time these offerings are sacrificed, the priests would come and they wouldn't look at the people and say, "I can't believe what you're telling me. What? This sin? You can't. No, I can't. I'm sorry, today it's just too much." They would never look at the people. They would only inspect the lamb. Whatever they had sinned, how they had sinned, who they had sinned against, they would then take their hand, put it on the lamb, and the lamb would be inspected to see if it was worthy of the sacrifice. Nowhere in the Old Covenant did the priests examine the people to see if they were worthy or not. And you see, the Israelites understood the sacrifice. They knew that this lamb would represent them, that their sins would be covered for a whole year. And then when John the Baptist boldly proclaims, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When he makes that declaration, something happens. We now look at the Lamb who is now Jesus, and instead of feeling the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, that I'm not good enough, you don't know what I've done in my past, I can't talk, I'm not worthy, they are not going to look at you. Jesus, Father God, the Holy Spirit, they are not looking at you anymore. They've showed the picture. There is a shadow. There is a type. And what do they say? Let's look at the Lamb. Is the lamb spotless? And that's why the Pharisees completely lost their marbles when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." They'd never heard that. Why? Because in the Old Testament, everything was covered with the blood. Nothing was washed away. But Jesus said, "I'm coming to wash your sins away." Let's read some scriptures. Hebrews 10, verse 3, "But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins year by year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." But look what it says in 1 Peter 1, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from that empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors." How many of you have experienced that empty way of life? But look what it says. "But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." That's how we've gained and how he's redeemed our life. Isaiah 53 says, verse 5, "But he was pierced through our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed, all of us. Can you say that with me? All of us. Do you know the Greek word all means all? It's all. We can't start pointing fingers and judging one another. We've all gone astray. We all at a time did not know Jesus. And it says here, we have all gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He became the Lamb. 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. This is a done deal. The Lamb has come once and for all. But because we don't understand the power of looking at the Lamb, we're still looking at what we must do. We don't believe what the Lamb has done is enough. You know, when you talk to psychiatrists and psychologists, one of the biggest emotions they are dealing with on a day-to-day basis is guilt. Guilt and shame. Have I done enough? I didn't do enough. You don't know what I did, how I was brought up, what I did with as a parent, as a mom, as a child. We're living in guilt and shame. Instead of putting our hands on the cross, putting our hands onto Jesus and saying, Jesus, what you did is enough. My sin has been washed away. In Romans 5, verse 11, it says, not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We could never do enough. Leviticus 7, 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is by the blood, it is the blood by reason of life that makes atonement. Romans 3, verse 25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. We need to stop focusing on what we are doing, what we must do, and turn our attention to be an overcomer to what the Lamb has done. When we change that belief that because of what he has done, I get to live in freedom. I get to live as an overcomer. I don't need guilt and shame to hinder me, because that enemy is there to accuse you. He's trying his best, because he knows if you understand that you can live guilt-free, you will be an overcomer. The second thing that we overcome with is the word of our testimony. If you come to my ladies' life group, you will often hear, I'll say, ladies, give me a testimony. Use your words. And you may say, well, Dee, what's important? It's just my story. No, your words are so powerful. Your words show what's in your heart. Your words are declaring victory. You know, God could have, he's God Almighty. He could have just thought the world into being. He could have thought, thinking of an earth. Oh, there's an earth. No. What did he do? He spoke, let there be light. And it's still creating. Our words are so powerful. It brings a declaration into an atmosphere that changes things. It's no longer just a thought process. It's you declaring who you are and what's happened in your life. It is so powerful. If you think of them going to battle in the olden days, what did they all shout? Charge! The whole army, can you imagine hearing that roar? They didn't go. There was this declaration of war. We're coming for you. It's about time we open our mouths and tell the enemy we're coming for you. We are using our testimonies. We're going to tell the people around us what God has done. You have a testimony. No one can mess with your testimony. And I was praying. I was like, Lord, what is a testimony that I can share? And I really believe I want to just, you may have heard it. I'm going to declare it again. But 9 years ago, I was having symptoms in my body. They weren't great symptoms. And I remember I was here at a soaking workshop, and I brought my symptoms to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on. What must I do? Do I use medical intervention? Do I trust you? How must I continue in this journey? And he was so clear to me, and he just said, Dee, go to the gynae. And so I got to my husband, I shared with him, and I went to the gynae, and it was such God timing because we managed to catch my cancer at such an early stage. I then went and she booked me into an incredible professor. I went to the best surgeons in Cape Town. They managed to catch it. I mean, it had already grown in 2 months from the with the doctor to the op. It had grown. They managed to cut it all out. And so I know last week with Steve sharing, there were so many healing questions. Healing is such a can of worms that we open. And then you've got to understand, Jesus never healed anybody the same. He didn't have a formula, so we are definitely not going to have a formula for healing. But I want to tell you that God uses medical doctors, and he is the healer. And he can do miracles, like we sang this morning. We need to understand he is still a miracle-working God. And miracles happen today. And so God used these incredible doctors to help me with my cancer journey. Unfortunately, when they did the op, I started bleeding. And I started bleeding out. I lost almost 3/4 of my blood. They almost came to Steve and said, we're losing her. I had to have blood transfusions. They saved my life. They managed to cut all the cancer out. But unfortunately, they had cut one of my bladder nerves. And so I had to stay in hospital trying to sort my bladder out. Eventually, they said to me, Dee, we're going to send you home. It was all happening in Cape Town. My babies were little. They were grade R, grade 1, and grade 3. So they were really little. And they said, we're sending you home with a catheter. And so I came home with a catheter, got put one. I must have had about 5 different catheters in a space of 2 weeks. And I was going through this journey, and eventually my bladder started working. But with that came the most horrendous bladder infections, where I felt like I'd been kicked all day and night. It was just, I was in excruciating pain. And I lived with this pain for about 8 months of going on antibiotics, doing the natural route. I still can't drink cranberry juice. So I'm just going to not lie to you. I cranberried myself out. I did everything. And eventually I was with Steve, and we were in Heidelberg with the Caris team, and he ministered at a healing night. And I was like, great, here I am, supposed to be healed. I've got a bladder infection. I can hardly walk. And Steve ministered that night, and he said, what are you seeing? Are you owning your emotions? Are you owning the lies that are against your healing journey? You see, we're so quick to want to hold on to the promise, but we don't conquer the fears or the lies that we have as a contradiction to the promise. And so he shared it that night, and I went home, And I started meditating on what he had said. And I'd been to urologists. They had booked me an operation to see what was going on. And in my bed, I was like, Lord, why do I see myself in George having this operation when I really don't want to be there? My family have been through enough. They don't need to now traipse all the way up and down to George. How are we going to cope as a family? It's even more stress. But if I'm honest with myself, I see myself in hospital. Why? And I remember so clearly, it was a Sunday morning, and I got up to get ready for the service, and I was grateful to be able to wee. Sorry for the over-information, but I was so grateful to be able to wee, and I was on the loo just saying, thank you, Lord, that I actually can still wee. And all of a sudden, this voice dropped into my heart. And he said, Dee, the reason you see yourself there is the fear of the unknown. And I was like, you're right. I didn't know if the cancer had spread to my bladder. I was so afraid that it had gone there, which is why I kept having these infections. And the reason I could see myself there was because then that fear of the unknown would be satisfied. That I would know what was going on in my body. And I said, Father, you are so right, but I can't deal with it right now. It's too much. It's too much. So I got ready for church. I was on worship. And that morning, we're talking 9 years ago, was the first time we sang This Is Amazing Grace. And we sang it in our practice, and this floor tom went crash, and I was singing these words. And then after this incredible time of worship, we all met in Steve's office. And what was amazing is we had all the elders and our little worship team at the time, and we're sitting in the office and we're holding hands, and the same voice says to me, Dee, you do know something. Remember, it was the fear of the unknown. And now he says, but you do know something. And I'm like, what, Lord? And I opened my eyes. And if you ever have been into Steve's office, you're always welcome to. It's like the principal's office, but it is fun. But if you ever go in there, you will see his walls are lined with our crusade photos and him on the stage ministering to tens of thousands of people. And as I open my eyes, the Lord says to me, you do know something. You know I'm the healer. And I'm like, yes, Lord, I've seen deaf ears opened. I've seen lame people walked. I've seen children give their lives to Jesus. I know you're the healer. And as I made that declaration, the pain went like that. Hallelujah. The pain left. And church, I can stand here and testify that I was instantly healed that day. I got to cancel my operation. I got to testify to my gynae. I got to testify to so many people that day, my miracle worker, my healer, my Jehovah Rapha stepped in and I acknowledged him as the healer, and that fear left my body, and I have not had a bladder infection in 9 years. Hallelujah. Isn't God faithful? We give him all the glory, and that's why he uses medical doctors. He uses medicine. But he is a miracle working God. What fear, what lies are you believing that you can let go today? I want to remind you of this. I love it in the Message Bible. Romans 10:14 says, but how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? Don't leave it up to us here on a stage. Every one of you have a testimony to share. Every one of you can share the goodness of God in your life. Get people to trust in Him. Get people to rely on Him through your words. I love John 4 with the Samaritan woman. We know her story, but look how powerful 39 is. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. Not Jesus's miracles. Because of her testimony, when she said, He told me everything I ever did. Church, become an overcomer by using the word of your testimony. You are a voice piece to those around you. Don't let the enemy shut your mouth. For our young people, for our teenagers, be the light and the salt. And then lastly, the third point that we can work as an overcomer is they did not love their life even faced with death. And I was reminded of the story of Stephen, and we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 6, verse 8. It says, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Isn't that a great testimony? Let's just put our names there. Put your name in. I'm going to put my name. Say for yourself. And Deanne. Okay, now I can only hear myself. Where's your names? Let me hear. And Deanne. That's it. I can still hear me. And Deanne. Full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Doesn't that sound like an overcomer to you? Imagine. Neisner Pet Herald. Put your name there. Hey? And Anne. Hey? And Rachel. And Jimmy. Full of grace and power. And Nikki. Full of grace and powers, performing great wonders and signs among the people. This is real, guys. Unfortunately, the people around him didn't think it was that great. So the synagogue of the freedmen, clearly they weren't, but they called themselves that, the freedmen, including both all these people, all of them rose up and argued with Stephen. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. My children have that all the time. They are unable to cope with the wisdom I am speaking. Hey? Oh, the battle is real, people. The battle is real. That was his testimony. And look what happens in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. This is the speech that he gives back to these freedmen, okay? I don't want to encourage you to have these preachers, but anyway, this is what he speaks in truth. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become, you who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and they began gnashing their teeth at him. Okay, pop hit the fan. They just like lost it. And then I love this. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You know, Jesus says in the word that he is seated in heavenly places. He has been seated next to Father God. But I want to tell you, when you give your life for him, Jesus stands up. Jesus stood and welcomed Stephen. And it says, "Behold, I saw the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen, and as he called on the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" What a beautiful picture of death. Sometimes we think God is taking our spirit, but you know what? We get to give it to him. And then it says, "Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord,'" again, the word of his testimony, "'you being stoned,' and with a voice he says, 'Lord, do not hold their sins against them.' And having said this, he fell asleep." We don't understand what a martyr goes through. There's going to be a martyr's crown in heaven. And as earthly, natural people, we think what pain they must be going through. I believe with all my heart, Jesus is with them in those moments. I believe with all my heart that that physical pain they may be experiencing is taken away, that they literally fall asleep. Because there is something very precious about not loving your life. Even when faced with death, you become an overcomer. You stand for his name. And you may say, "Do you know what? We live in South Africa. This isn't going to happen to us." You may not be martyred tomorrow, but every one of us face pride. Every one of us face, what are they going to think? Every one of us face, "Well, I don't think I'm good enough to do it. I'll wait for somebody else." That is putting yourself down. That is you choosing not to love your life. That is you saying, no matter what I have to do, whether I'm laying hands on the sick, whether I'm casting out demons, whether I'm raising people from the dead, I'm going to put my pride under and I'm going to live for him. We may not face death in a real way, but I want to tell you, we face the death of our flesh every single day. And to be an overcomer, we have to understand that we have to let go of our life and what it means to us. And so I'm going to close with this. In Galatians 2 verse 20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." He gave up his life for me. I'm prepared to be an overcomer and give up my life for him. Won't you stand this morning, church? We have overcome by three things. What are they? The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we do not love our lives even when faced with death. Can I ask everyone to just close your eyes this morning? I first would love just to pray with those who have come here this morning, maybe you watching online, and you've never given your life to the Lamb. You've never understood what Jesus did for you at the cross. So this morning, if you want to say, "Dee, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to become a child of the King." If that's you this morning, won't you be brave and just raise your hand, share with us online. Say, Dee, I'm going to be an overcomer today. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is your day of salvation. Thank you. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Is there anybody else? Can we just pray with those that want to make this declaration as fellow believers, just to encourage them in this journey? Can we say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being the Lamb. Today I trust you. I make you Lord of my life. I repent. I turn around and I follow you. Thank you that I am yours and I can look to the Lamb. In Jesus' name. And while every head is still bowed, maybe the enemy has accused you this morning. Maybe you felt guilt and shame. Maybe you've been embarrassed to share your testimony. Or maybe you've just felt, I can't. What are they going to think? Won't you declare with me this morning? Can we just say, I choose to be an overcomer. I overcome by looking at the Lamb. I overcome with the word of my testimony. I overcome by putting myself down, by not loving my life, but putting you first. I am an overcomer because greater is he who lives in me than he who is in this world. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Are you ready to charge? Hey, are you ready? We're charging. We're not going to be these wimps anymore. We are overcomers, church. Go and take territory. He is with you. He will never leave you. If you need prayer or help this morning, we've got an incredible ministry team. They would love to stand with you. Otherwise, go and have a great cup of coffee. We're so excited you're here. And always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved. Have a great week.